Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
I had therapy this morning. We talked about similar things. I'm not going through a breakup, but I'm going through not attaching to the worst case scenario of things that can happen.
You're intentionally terrorizing yourself in this. It's like I have little sock puppets on my yes. hands, and they have little bloody knives, and they're like, "You're horrible, and it's never going to work." Just so radio knows, I have my hands.
Yes.
I'm like moving my hands like little mouths.
Right. You're a terrible person. You know, how did you do that?
You have to kind of stop for a second and at least take off one sock puppet. Mm-hmm. At least take one, or put a different sock puppet on right. that hand, or just understand that it's you. It's coming from inside the building.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by my friend, actress, and writer, most known for her role on Criminal Minds, Kirsten Vangsness. And we're talking all about how to better deal with rejection, sexual shame, and why feminine energy is so powerful. Plus, I'm answering your emails. Topics include, typically you're submissive, but is it possible to learn how to be dominant? So you're about to move in with your girlfriend, but she has no desire for sex due to your PE. You know, you're coming before you want to. How do you fix this? Okay, you're not really into blowjobs, but you want to be. Where do you start? And your wife wants to try anal, but you don't want to hurt her. What do you do? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Do it now. You're going to love our website because there's so much great information on there to help you with your sex life and relationships. You can also find me Monday through Fridays on SiriusXM Radio in the evenings from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Stars 109. For even more great sex talk, you can get a free subscription at sexwithemily.com/SXM. And you can always call with your questions, 888-947-8277. Follow me on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily on Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook. Find us everywhere. All right, guys, I hope you enjoy the show.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. I'm so excited to welcome my guest, Kirsten Vangsness.
Oh, a sign of good friendship is when you say
I practiced right. And we are good friends, but she called me out. It's hard, but it's not. I mean, it's, I said it, Vangsness all day.
Yeah.
But I adore you. She's known for Penelope Garcia on Criminal Minds. Uh-huh. And you're doing a lot of amazing things. You're super talented woman, friend. I see you all over town and people love you. You're like this sparkly personality. People run up to you. They know you. They love you. Not just for your role, but I think it's for who you are as a human and what you bring out into the universe is what,
man.
I think.
Man, no pressure.
I believe it. So she's that, but so much more. Last time I saw you, I was giving you a bunch of sex toys.
It's true. You
were. For your raffle, for your kick. How did that go down?
Yeah, we did some legendary bingoing at Hamburger Mary's here in West Hollywood where the drag queens call the bingo, and it's quite fantastic. And when I said that they were from here, people cheered because they, like me, listen to this show. And like all smart, sexual, savvy.
I forgot, Kirsten listens to the show. Like, I know that's weird, but I don't make those assumptions with anybody.
I actually do. I actually go and listen, and I'm that person who's like, wait, that is good lube? And then I go and I use code.
Wait.
I am that person.
Yes, that's amazing.
Wait, I am that person.
I
heard
so
Lauren Roxburgh on here a little
Lauren,
bit ago.
Yeah.
I actually referred Heather Jeffcoat to be on this show, the pelvic floor physical therapist, because I was like, you know, you should be, because I feel like everyone who is not sexually savvy and is sexually savvy should listen to things about being sexually savvy.
Exactly.
I'm not saying I am or I'm not.
You told Lauren Roxburgh to do what though? You bought all the things.
I got the rollers. I got the roller thing.
Dude, they're amazing. Yeah, they released all of your tension.
Yes.
Yeah, because when she was in here getting the toy, she was like, oh, I have that. I'm like, that's so weird. You're like, no, because you told me.
I have that lube. I have that thing. Yeah.
I'm your fan too.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Thank you.
Okay, so it went well with the toys. And then you did introduce me.
Oh, because I didn't tell you we were raising money for
it. Tell me that. Your Kickstarter. That's yes.
Because we have a Kickstarter campaign, and it's happening right now. But we're also raising money at the Hamburger Mary's. I'm so sorry. My brain is
still?
Orgy. I'm going through. I had a breakup, a sudden breakup.
No.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Today?
Okay.
On the way
no,
here?
No, but very close to today. And I don't think that we, maybe in America or maybe on the planet, have a good model for like beautiful love affairs that they don't result in like marriage or kids or anything, but it's still like a really valuable, beautiful love affair. And you're like, oh, like literally like, and so many lessons and like you love the person and all of that.
It just has to end. But you had
just
this great.
Ends. It ends. It just literally ends. You're just like,
because you couldn't
living life. Oh no. I like how you're implying that I'm the one that did. I don't want to get into details.
Don't get detailed. But
it
wasn't
both. That all of a sudden it's there, and it's just like
it's gone.
It's so ephemeral. You have like nothing to really prove for it except that your mom's really sad about it.
Oh.
And you are too, but your mom is. So I feel, God, and now we're on a radio, and now I'm saying it out loud with my face, which is what I do. But
good.
I'm just wondering,
I say everything.
Because I'm a little discombobulated. My brain is discombobulated. So
well, what would you want to talk about?
No. I'm happy to talk about things that don't make me happy. I just felt like I was ruining everything, and I needed to say it out loud why I thought I was ruining everything.
Okay,
so
I feel
everyone
like
on the radio show is going to learn that.
No, it's
I,
so real. I feel like I ruin person. Everything all the time. That's just in my negative thoughts.
Yeah, it is. It's like your thing. It's like, and my therapist said this thing the other day, and I was like, I loved it. And then we will talk about the other thing. But she
said relationships.
I love this though. She said relationships are like this container, and they put pressure on the relationship puts pressure on you, and then the pressure makes cracks, and the cracks are where you need to grow. Yeah. And you will either lean into the crack or a person will withdraw. Neither one is wrong.
Exactly.
But it's just what they do. Like the more you agree, the more agreements you make, the more commitments you make, the more you go all in. So that's why I always think like you never really have to worry about like, oh, should I stay with them or not stay with them? Because if you just go forth in your bliss and try to make yourself like the most fully expressed version of yourself, it puts pressure on the relationship, mm-hmm. which creates this instability, and something will happen. Right? Something will happen.
Either you get closer together.
Yeah. Either or you'll learn more about you, or they'll learn, you know, it's not a, anyway. So.
Well, that's literally what we were talking about before the break. We were talking about how do you get over, how did you know? We were talking about how do you get, my best advice, a woman was emailing in, she's called in, she's 23 years old, how do I learn to deal with rejection? What if this guy doesn't like me? And I was like, that's where we learn our greatest lessons.
You know, I'm in the middle of this right now.
Yeah.
I am, whoever this is, I am literally in the middle of a very fresh, I mean, it's less than a week, and I can say that like, The worst thing you can do when you're having this pain, right, is that, we all do this, you project yourself into the future, right? You have all the thoughts about the future.
Future trip.
Or you project yourself into the past and you create this version of yourself. For me, I relive relationship moments, but in it, I'm wearing like a weird kabuki mask with teeth, and I have drool and barf on my shirt, and I'm holding like a ho-ho and a hamburger, and I'm speaking another language. I haven't
and
done any
alone,
of these things.
And you're alone probably too.
No,
right?
And I'm with, meaning like, oh, I remember we went to that party. Maybe I did something wrong. And then when I go back and project myself in it, I'm wearing like a carrot top t-shirt, and I've got I have a Rastafarian hat on, and I'm talking in an accent, and I'm screaming. Like, I'm not myself.
Right,
I'm not even like an authentic version of myself is my point. But what I mean is that, if you don't project yourself, if you don't attach to the thoughts, right, and you go inside and you have a body sensation, you have what I think people traditionally call pain, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you actually go into your body, pain usually happens, in my experience, in your torso, right? Your throat to like your groin. Pain is usually somewhere from your throat, for me anyway, throat to my stomach. And if I go right now and I go, okay, and I think about this thing that's just happened, like, okay, I got broken up with, okay. And I feel rejected, okay? And I feel sad, and I feel what? You feel like this, I can feel my heart. It feels like a poke. Yeah. For some reason on me, I feel a little poke, like a finger is poking my heart for some weird mm-hmm. reason in the right, to the right. And it's like a poke, and it feels like a stretch. Now, if I just focus on that sensation, now, call me crazy.
No, but
that sensation is not, it's neither bad nor good. It's a sensation. And like when you do a stretch in yoga, or you're working out, or you like, it reminds me of a stretch. It doesn't feel quote unquote bad. What feels bad is the thoughts
right.
and the things. So the key is to feel that feeling. And usually for me, and this could be just me, but I don't think so. I don't think I'm the exception to the rules of the universe. Then what happens is I feel a little bit of energy, and then you can do something with that energy. And then that's up to you to do whatever.
Absolutely.
That's when you're a good girlfriend to yourself.
Right, exactly, honey. Well, this is so, that's so beautifully said. Because what
I have
we
to
were
hear
saying,
it,
no,
too.
I loved it. No, well, here's the other thing. I had therapy this morning. We talked about similar things. I'm not going through a breakup, but I'm going through not attaching to the worst case scenario of things that can happen.
Yeah.
Because as, you know, primates or the fight or flight response, we had to constantly be looking for our environment to see if we are in danger, what's going wrong, that's why we do it. That's why we have negative. Yeah. We're not thinking like, oh, I'm going to go on this date and everything's going to be amazing. I'm going to fall in love, or I'm going to take this trip, or whatever it is. We think of the negative first.
Yeah.
How is it going to go wrong? Mostly with many people, or whatever your thing is. A lot of us future trip into a negative place because we used to think we have to protect ourselves. So when you find yourself doing that, you have to stop and be like, okay, so, but in this moment, and you breathe into your wherever feels good to you, even if it's five breaths, there's literally nothing else. There's not the future, there's not the past, there's the present moment, which is exactly what you're saying.
Right.
And the other thing why I want to say why that's so great about rejection is because of the other thing you're saying, like you could read our mind, even if you weren't listening to Sirius on the way here, is that the one with rejection, I said, well, you got to feel it. It's okay if you're sad about him for a while. Like, just feel it. But please don't beat yourself up and say it's because you're a bad person. And then you're going to end up alone. And like, none of that's true. So feel it. But what I love what you just said, when you took it that to the next place, because people might not know what that means, feeling your feelings. Separate. How do you, people think feeling their feelings is like, I'm a horrible person and I'm bad, or I'll never be lovable, right? No. When they break up.
I think that, but those, it's like, are, the, yeah, that's, it's that voices specific, you hear. Yeah. And, yeah, and those, so, voices, we always attach words to them, but I think that, well, what helps me sometimes is that when I do it, I just started doing this actually just really recently. I had a moment where I was thinking something and I was like, oh my God. And it was one of those breakups. I'm not even going to go into that, but I was having this like, oh my God. And then I had to stop and I said, Kirsten, you're scaring the shit out of yourself right now. Like, and so it doesn't even matter. Like, it doesn't matter if maybe or maybe not, whatever. Like, you're scaring yourself right now. So like, just be aware of that noise. And there's something about like that noise, like you're intentionally like terrorizing yourself in this, it's like I have little sock puppets on my hands and they have little bloody knives and they're like, you're horrible and it's never going to work. Just so radio knows, I have my hands. Yes. I'm like moving my hands like little mouths. Right.
You're a terrible, like, person. You know, how did you do that again?
You have to kind of stop for a second and at least take off one sock puppet. Mm-hmm. At least take one, or put a different sock puppet on that hand, or just understand that it's you. It's coming from inside the building. And so you had this great experience with this person, but like all that negative stuff is at the end of the day coming from inside the building.
Right. You're building, you, and you are the building. Yeah. You're the janitor, the owner.
From inside the
it's
house.
It's inside the house.
You are the mayor of Person Town, population one.
Right, exactly.
These are the things I have to tell myself all the time.
All the time. I have all things around my house. But it's so interesting if you think about it, like, but when you say that, like, that voice in your head is you. And so, but we also, but what happens is we're so good at convincing ourselves that we're wrong or that we're bad. It's such a groove in our neural pathways.
Oh, and there's a benefit to it. There's such a benefit to it because you always stay safe. It's the worst feeling, I think, for human beings to like get smashed when you're like, and to think you're super amazing or to think you're super horrible. It's like two extremes. Right. And it's funny that we're talking about this because this is exactly what one of the shows that I'm taking to Edinburgh is about.
Really? Okay. Tell me about that. But I was going to say this, but it's kind of saying like the extreme of being, either I'm great or I'm a fuck up. How about I'm good enough? How about like just saying right now I'm okay in the middle?
Yeah. How about in like also like we're made of stardust. Like everybody's everybody's made of, legitimately made of stardust. Every single thing that exists has either been made by nature or some human person thought of an idea and made it happen. And like, so you're enough and that's like really, like, great. Yeah. Like, you're okay. You're here. You get to, like, you get to be in a meat puppet suit with consciousness. Like, that's so cool. You get to have contrast because if you were just flying around and just pure positive energy, you wouldn't be able to be like, I'm going to have a goal to, you know, write a play and then you can go do it.
Right.
You know?
Well, do you think that part of it, like, because you're here, you're doing a pretty amazing thing, which is why I would donate you. You're like, do you have sex toys? I'm like, do I have sex toys? I didn't even know what it was for because I'm like, anything that you are behind, I will support, of course. And then I come to find out this fabulous adventure. You wrote these plays. Mm-hmm. You're taking them to, so tell us what's going on to Edinburgh,
so
2019.
Edinburgh. Yeah,
Edinburgh.
What you're giving me the sex toys for is, what the sex toys were for was that we're raising money for, to take these plays to Edinburgh. And we have a Kickstarter right now. If you know what that is, like a crowdfunding kind of thing. We actually hit our goal yesterday. However, the way the Kickstarter kind of works is that you want to have like a good goal and then you want to go for like a stretch goal. So I want to get to a little higher than our goal, because if we do, what we're using the money for is we're paying for the actors and the director. We're flying them to Edinburgh and we're putting them up. They're going to perform every single day of the week except for 2 days. We're going to do this show that is in, like, it's such a neat show, and it makes an audience. Yeah, I wrote it, and I mean, it's such a neat show with everybody in it. It's a very empowering show, and it's really exciting to share it to a larger audience. And I can do it. We're doing two different shows. We're calling it Fempire. We're calling it Kirsten Vangs. This is Fempire, and if you look it up on Kickstarter,
okay, it'll say that. If you guys go to sexwithemily.com right now and you click on the show notes, we have a link to the Kickstarter.
Aw, thanks.
And we'll be putting it on Instagram and tweeting.
That's awesome. So if you go to that, it has information about both of them. But for Mess, which is my one person show, which I actually am doing in Los Angeles, on the 5th, 6th, and 7th of July at Theater of Note.
Okay,
can get tickets at theaterofnote.com. So that's my one person show, and I've done that about 10 times, and each time I do it, it's like a living document. It changes, and it's about time happening at the same time, and like, what if your 97-year-old self is doing something to tell your 13-year-old self something that your 50-year-old self needs to know? And it's a little autobiographical, and it's entirely about the noises in our heads that tell us things and how to transcend that.
Well, this is exactly what we opened up with that. Right. Right.
And
that's what I love about it. What it says, I was like, you talk about church camp, monsters, kittens, and Christian rock.
Yeah. 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 So that's sort of my childhood a little bit.
It.
And
Christian rock.
I love Christian. I love Miss Mamie Grant.
Yeah.
All day. That one I'm paying for all myself right. with fancy TV money. And I'm paying for half of the other show with fancy TV money. However, when you're the actor at the theater company with all the money, it can feel really strange to people when you're paying for the whole thing. So I thought, well, why don't we crowdfund, and then we all feel like we're participating. And the cool thing is if you're part of the quote unquote Fempire, and that means you gave a dollar to Kickstarter or $5 or whatever. If you give money, what happens is when we go to Edinburgh, and actually next week when the Kickstarter is even over, you'll still be getting updates from us. You'll get video from rehearsals and from shows. So it'll be fun. It's a way to be involved.
A way to be involved with us.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that's important.
And these are 9 actors that have day jobs and that are very good at this other thing that is their dream. And they get to go out of the country and go perform something that is super special. And we're raising this money to give them like a reasonable stipend to be able to like afford food.
Right.
And make some really yummy art. And so that's what we're doing. And we get to involve everybody. And there's a bunch of cool perks. Like I'll sign a Criminal Minds script or send t-shirts or all different kinds of things. Even if you just have a dollar, you want to put yourself, like, be part of this thing. Because it's a really neat idea. The play.
Tell me,
So there's two plays. There's Kirsten Vangs's. It's called Kirsten Vangs's Vampire. And we're doing them in rep while we're in Edinburgh, which means that.
In rep?
In repertory.
Oh, I think so, said rap. Like you're going to rap.
No.
But I didn't
say that. Both of them have music in them. So both of them do have music in them. Some days I'll be doing Mess, and some days we'll be doing this other play I wrote, which is a play with other people in it, called Cleo, Theo, and Wu. And that play is about a girl in the present day who's just trying to live her life, and she has some guys she's got a crush on who she keeps watching on Instagram because he has a crush on this girl who has like the tiniest labia minora he's ever seen.
Okay.
And so she looks her up on Instagram, like hashtag labia minora energy, and sure enough, she does. I mean, it's like silly, and those things, it like attacks those things that we all freak out about. Like, oh God, you like someone and you don't like me, and what and what's going
on?
And
like she's, a lot of your work.
She's
just
trying to deal with that. And meanwhile, there is a woman played by a man in the future because femininity has been destroyed, and so this woman from the future takes this woman from the present day back into time to meet Cleopatra. Who is played by two women because there were like a bunch of Cleopatras. And so we have a Cleopatra played by a black woman and a Cleopatra played by sort of like what we think is Cleopatra, which is the Liz Taylor, which is totally wrong.
Right, exactly.
So she goes back to meet Cleopatra and Theodora of the Byzantine Empire, who was this prostitute who did live sex acts on stage and then were like swans pecked seeds out of her vagina. And the head of the Byzantine Empire fell in love with her, made her the head of the Byzantine Empire. And she changed all the child labor laws and she did all this stuff for women. But when she died, they still tried to make her into this sort of sex fiend, bloodthirsty. And then she goes and meets Wu Zetian, who was the head of the Tang Dynasty. And this whole journey, it's like this big time travel, sexy, weird romp where it's both talking about history and women's history, and then also our tiny personal histories, because these big women in history had these things happen and they still get sort of slammed. And then all of us, how, you know, how if you walk down the street, I've had this happen. I don't know a single one hasn't had this happen. You're in your car. And I remember being a kid, like walking down the street, and there's some dude masturbating right here. And you see it and you go, oh God. And then you go home and you're panicked. And but you're so used to it. By the time we've all gotten to be 20, we have 45 situations where someone
like grabbed us or did that. Right.
You can't call the cops. You don't do anything. And then you sublimate this history of stuff that's happened. And you never get to get truly angry about it. You never get to... And if we do, we're called shrill. We're so it's all this stuff about female rage and sexuality and all that. That's what it's about.
Okay, so it's very in-depth... personal work.
Yeah, but it's also...
But I love that it's about women. Can we get back to the sex part and they're eating seeds out of her vagina?
Yeah.
Not just because it's about sex, but I want to talk about the what have you found or what, you know, a lot of people aren't aware of how women's sexual energy and power were sort of ruining the universe at a certain time.
Yeah.
And they no longer are. And so I think we're coming out of that now.
We have...
But we have the power, the feminine energy.
Feminine energy, we are afraid of our own energy.
We are afraid.
We're afraid of our own rage. I am terrified of my own rage. I could burn down a house with how mad I get.
Right.
Like, we're afraid of our own rage. We're afraid of our own sexuality. We're afraid of our own power.
Yes.
And we're afraid that if we get out of the gilded cage of privilege, and I think especially, and I'm sorry, this is just true, people are going to be like, ooh, especially a white, cisgendered, like straight looking women, which I am one of, I'm queer, but I'm very passable, you know what I mean? That there is this fear of like, if I get out of the cage of privilege, where I am supporting the sort of patriarchal whatever, if I get out of this cage, I'm going to lose privilege. And this idea of like, and what Cleo Thien-Wu talks about is you're only as powerful as the least powerful among you. You are only as privileged as the least privileged among us. So if I have all the power and I'm so afraid of like, there is an infinite amount of abundance. Right. There's an infinite amount of power. So
this idea that like, mentality.
Yeah, exactly. And if this idea that if I don't make sure that I've got my eye on that, you get seen. Like how come, because the whole play started, is like, how come there's all these stories about men in history? How come men are on all the money, on all the statues? Now it could be
it's true.
Because
and you're always like, oh wow, a woman.
We don't really need it. We don't really care, right? We do other stuff. We're magic. We've got a magic line to the heavens. We've got a uterus space that makes something out of nothing, like whether that be words or bread or babies or whatever. So like maybe we don't need our face on money. Right. But they that's where it kind of started from.
Where would you want your face on though?
Not what money. My face
I don't know.
On?
We don't want statues. Do we not
my
want that?
My face is on a TV
oh, true.
Channel like whenever I want to
She's
see
like
it.
Famous. You're like my favorite. We go out and be like, oh, they Kirsten, they love me, of course. No, but I'm saying, like, women, we don't want statues. We don't want this. And maybe we would if we had the opportunities.
We want potency. We want power, but not like power. I don't need to smell. That's the reason why we always have to be very careful about feminine energy, because masculine energy, and I love masculine energy, it's about action and movement. My masculine energy is like push, push, push. My feminine energy, if you're not careful, it can just get lost in all of that. So
we lose it. We don't know. I'm dominating my masculine too a lot.
And that's okay.
That's your feminine.
That's fine. But the matriarchy, like I'm not about the smash the patriarchy. I'm like, pull the matriarchal throne right up next to the matriarchal.
Let's all talk about it. Let's have a real conversation. This is how it's been for years. Patriarchy.
And we've let it happen.
We didn't know that there was other ways. And we're talking about history here. So you are queer. Mm-hmm. How do you define queer? What do you think about queer, pansexual, all the things?
I don't really know. I just know the answer for me.
Yeah, for you, what does it mean?
But for me, I'm like a bisexual, lesbian leaning, cisgendered woman who's dated a few men in a row. But like,
I know,
when
I've
people
only seen
ask
you with men's
me,
that I've known
like,
you.
I was talking to someone and they were like, well, and I was like, but I always have queer sex. And they're like, what does that mean? I was like, I don't really know, except like, I'm always in the room and I'm queer. So like, when I'm having sex, there's always me.
Right.
And the way in which that happens is different. And the things I think about is very primarily all the way over to just, I mean, if you Kinsey scaled me, just in my masturbation life, you'd be like, oh, she's a gold star. Like, but in practice, I'm much more fluid.
So when you're having, yeah.
But the person I'm with is usually the person I want to be with. So I'm super like focused on that.
Uh-huh.
Usually, sometimes though, the person you're with can get worried.
Well, that you're gonna leave, yeah. Right? That's what happens.
I don't really understand it. This is a subject that like, I'm always very like, I'm stretched to talk about because I think it's important to, I think for visibility purposes, it's important. And I also think that it's important for people to hear that.
Right.
Is it ambiguity?
Ambiguity. Everyone gets to decide for themselves. So it means something different.
But I think it's
important
that like, when I talk about it, I have a lot of like shame when it's Pride Month. I'm always like, should I let you guys be over there and do it? And should I just stay over here? Like, cause I don't always really know.
You don't identify. You're like, right.
I totally identify as I absolutely am part of the LGBTQ
right.
plus
what's the shame still?
That I'm not, that you never feel. I was doing a podcast with a couple of my friends called the Coming Out Podcast. It's great. And we were talking, it's a bisexual woman and then me and a woman who identifies as lesbian, and the bisexual woman was saying she feels badly because she has a girlfriend and her husband, and it's like, have your cake and eat it too. She's like, I'm a bad bisexual because I have my cake and eat it too. The lesbian is saying, well, I'm a bad lesbian because I'm attracted to Blake Lively and that's not a traditional, you know. And I'm saying, well, I'm a bad bisexual because I'm not practicing. I'm only like whoever I'm with. So it's, and I don't know if that's just a thing we do because we're constantly self-examining ourselves.
I hope more people did self-examine themselves. That's the thing. I don't think that people think about sexuality that much. And I think that most of what happens, I think that this is going to be very awakening for many people listening, because I think, and especially men do this as well. I know Kinsey said women are more flexible on the sexuality spectrum from 1 to 10, but I think that men are too, but they're so afraid, you know, to experiment.
And if you don't
and
even admit it to yourself,
you can't.
This is
right.
When you're getting into internalized homophobia, which then expresses itself in not understanding another human being. So it's like really leaning into
God,
I don't enjoy leaning into the shamey parts of myself. They're like, I don't understand it.
To me, it sounds ideal in a way. I'm like, well, it sounds real to me because it's like you are just like. It's almost like that reality show that's coming out today. We were reading on MTV that's called something where it's...
Oh, Are You the One?
Are You the One? And everyone's pansexual. So it's men and women on an island.
Right.
But they all go for everyone. And you don't know. It's not even like you're pairing the men to the men, women, women. You just kind of see who pairs. And it's, for me, that's like, in a way, it's like you get to decide in every moment. Or it's not, because to you, you're not seeing penis, vagina, this, that. You're seeing the soul and the person.
I guess.
And
when people say that, and that is a
and
way
you're
that
like,
people...
No, I wanted a penis this time.
I don't even know if it's that what it's... I don't
even
know what it is.
Right.
I don't even know.
Okay, we don't even have to... Yeah.
No,
but
it's
we
okay.
Did.
We did.
It's
we
good.
Can. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. People, like, I've heard people say, like, oh, you don't see a penis. No, I absolutely see a penis in
but you're not consciously going into situation. Here's the thing, though. Because you were the same then. When we're alone, it's the negative, negative. But when we're out in the world is maybe when we're comfortable. So you're just connecting. Let's say you meet your, I don't know where you met your boyfriend.
Yeah.
But you're out. And you meet someone, you're like, I'm attracted to this energy. Let's say that instead of penis, vagina.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I meant to say.
Well, and I think
it's energy and human, and that's what I'm into right now.
Yeah.
So
I guess
to me, that's the most honest, truest form of sexuality that I've heard. Like, you're just so real about it, and no shame
well,
in that sex game. Girl.
I know that you're saying no shame in the sex game, but I would argue that there is shame in the sex game.
Oh, there is. That's what I'm trying to do. That's why I have a job.
And I know that's why you're number game. One. There is, and that's why you have a job. And also, then I think the trick is then using the shame for the sex game. Like, if it's there too much, then just involve it. Just be like, come on in, the water's fine.
Right. You always have to invite it in with you. So, and you tell your partner, maybe I'm feeling shame. You tell a national
or you
radio
do a,
show.
You do a weird, crazy
play
thing with your sex life to express your shame, which is another way, right?
Well, if it's, but. And if it is it satisfying what you're doing though?
I'm not talking
about you.
I'm
in
talking,
general.
I'm talking about
no,
in general.
Everywhere.
Because I think that's what, I mean, at the end of the day, that's part of the joy of BDSM, isn't it?
Is shame.
Is getting a little into that kneeling.
It can be.
Enjoying
it can
your
be
shame.
That pleasure and pain.
Is like holding on to your, like holding hands with your shame and being like, I'm just going to enjoy that I, you know what I mean? I think that's
that
part of
it. That could be part
right?
of it. Yeah, it could be part of the. Want, like, I can't believe that I want to be dominated by someone because I'm such a strong woman, but I'm going to let this person do it. But it could also feel, you know, good to get. I think about cuckolding as being something about men who want to watch their wives sleep with other men, which is a really common.
I don't mean shame like, oh, I feel so
bad.
I don't know what I mean about shame.
Well, shame is huge with sex. I think a lot of us, we don't masturbate. We don't talk to our partners about sex. We don't even talk about sex. Our parents didn't talk to us about sex.
I just think that shame isn't a reason to not do something.
Right.
There is healthy shame. There is, you know, like, oh, that's not, you know, I mean, if we're just going to be completely honest here, which here we are. I come from a tumultuous childhood, and a friend of mine had taken me to go see that movie Copycat, which is this movie with Harry Connick Jr. It's about serial killers, weirdly enough. And I was in a really weird place, and I got into this phase. This is terrible, we're on a sex podcast, so I'm just going to tell everybody.
Everything goes.
I was masturbating, and when I would masturbate, I would think about the regular things, and then I was so out of it at the time, and I was on a brain medication to help me because I was really depressed. I don't take anything anymore. I'm like a different person now. So when you hear this, I'm sure it's like, wait, what?
Everyone's on something.
I was masturbating, and I would masturbate, and I would get to the point where this guy would kill me in my thing. And I would come, and I had to be like, you have to stop. That is healthy shame to be like, that's not okay. And you're going to go to therapy, and you're going to tell them that you have to stop. I had to stop doing that.
That was your fantasy.
That was happening in my fantasy because what was happening in life was so painful.
Right.
And then I was doing this thing as a pressure release. And I was young when this is happening. But it was really scary. And you feel already oh God, why am I doing this? And you don't want to tell anybody. And so I had to. And I was seeing a therapist. My therapist from since I was 17 was a sex therapist because I had sexual trauma. And which by the way, when I say sexual trauma, I'm not even going to give details because I think that there's such a huge spectrum of sexual trauma, and we have a tendency to rate our trauma and say, well, it wasn't as bad as this.
Right.
And it wasn't,
but you just had trauma.
Trauma is trauma. I want to be really clear about that. So I don't want anyone to go oh, maybe what happened to her isn't as bad as, because I know I do that, I guess is what I'm saying. So I'm reaching out.
No,
and
we
saying,
all
do that.
We're like, well, it could be poured on the street, or it could be, we all discount.
But anyway, and I remember going and That was not healthy.
No,
healthy versions.
But even then, the healthiest part was, I wouldn't even say that. It was in that moment, but then you went and got help and you saw your therapist. So
I did it for a bit because I was so scared that it was going to take away my orgasm. Right. I was like, I don't want anyone to take away my orgasm. If this is the only way I can do it, I'm going to keep it.
Especially
mine.
If you're younger and you don't know. Yeah. People think this, but people can change all the time turns
but
on.
But then you get to be another age and you think, you think those same other limiting beliefs that something else. I think I've spent most of my life being something's going to take away my orgasm. I mean, once I have a this is my way, I'm like, don't you take it. These are my four ways. You know, and if the moon isn't in the, and if it isn't an end day of the week that ends in a Y, all that
right,
stuff.
Exactly. But so far, so good. They've never been taken away.
They haven't been, but maybe part of it is my magical thinking that it might be.
No, that's the destructive
I'm not
part.
Saying it's
I'm
right.
I'm trying to exist.
I am the kind of person that listens to your show. I'm not saying it's correct.
Oh my God. Okay, wait, Kirsten, Kirsten Vangris.
Vangris.
Shit. Thanks. I have to ask you the final questions we ask everybody.
All right.
I'm so sad to say goodbye to you, but you're just going to come back because you're right around the corner.
Yeah,
I can't
believe I've never. I'm an honor to be on here. First of all,
I love you being on.
That I get to. I might be on again.
Yeah, dude.
Jeez.
Yeah, I think it's a freaking blast. Jeez. We didn't even go to break yet. We should have gone to break 7 minutes ago.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, guys. Okay, we have would you rather's.
Okay.
Just quick.
Okay.
Right. Answer them quick. No, don't overthink it. Would you rather have sex in a public restroom or a car?
Car.
Okay, would you rather have sex with your best friend's parent or your parent's best friend?
Best friend's parent or your parent's best friend's parent.
Okay. Would you rather have sex with a loud and passionate partner or a chill one?
Loud and passionate.
Okay. Would you rather have to pay for sex or be paid to have sex?
Paid to have sex.
Yeah, of course. Right. Okay.
I would make so much money.
I know, right? You would. Would you rather have kinky sex or romantic sex?
Oh, romantic kinky sex.
Okay, exactly. All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thank
you. Everyone can find you
at Vangsness on Twitter and at Kirsten Vangsness, KirstenVangsness on Instagram.
Awesome. We're going to put that all up on our show notes and our Instagram, social media, all those things. Thank you so much for being here, Kirsten. I love you. I adore you. Good luck with the Kickstarter.
Thank you.
We support you. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into your email questions. I love answering your questions. It's why I exist on the planet. So if you want a question answered on the show, go to my website, sexwithemily.com. Click the Ask Emily tab and fill out the short form. You can also email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. But please, please, please include your name. You can change it. We don't care. Your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Thanks, guys. All right, Jamie, you want to read them?
Mm-hmm. This first one comes to us from Hannah, 24, in Texas. Emily, thank you so much for this podcast/show. I have so many questions. I feel like I'm only just figuring out my body. I've learned that I enjoy being submissive and my boyfriend, Dom. It's been great, but I think he also wants to reverse the roles. At work, I'm incredibly aggressive and forward. I'm in the military, but in bed, I really love him being aggressive. How do I please him by being the Dom? What tips do you have? Whenever I try, I kind of run out of ideas. We've never done any roleplay either. I feel like I need a game plan going into our night, and I'd really like to surprise him by being confident and aggressive in a new way. Thanks for the help and tips.
Okay. Hey, Hannah. Thanks for the question. I'm so glad you found the show. And it's okay. We're all just figuring out our bodies, you know? It's never, you're never done. So I love this question. And okay, and I get that too. You all day long, you're in the military. You are aggressive. You're doing stuff. And when you get home, it's like being submissive just feels great. But I love that you're willing to learn. The first thing is to talk to him about it, really, and just say, babe, I would love to please you in that way and figure out how to be the dominant lover for you from time to time. What does it look like to you? And or maybe you guys could figure it out together, which is, I think, is a really fun way for couples to connect more sexually, is when you guys, like, what if it's a project? You're like, you know, there's some great books on this. You can listen to my podcast together. You can watch some porn that depicts dom sub relationships. You know, they're not all created equal. Like, sometimes people do want, like, bondage, or they just want sadism, or they just want to be disciplined. Figure out what it looks like so you're not just guessing. I mean, that would make anyone, like, overwhelmed. Like, people wouldn't know if we're not typically dominant. So just know it's okay to do a little work. And you might just find in that process, something will click and you'll be like, I can get down with that. But the thing is, once you do that research and you start to do it, you will develop the confidence, which a lot of it being the dominant is having that confidence. And I'm going to say, if you're in the military, you probably know how to order people around and tell them what to do. So really, it's a matter of kind of bringing your work into the bedroom, which I wouldn't typically suggest, but it sounds like you might be ready for this part. So a lot of this has to do with you're the boss, like you're in charge of what happens. So you could make him cook you dinner. You could say, give me a massage. And after that, you know, then I'll tell you what to do next. You could say, go down on me, you know, and don't stop till I tell you. Like, you are in the power role. You could also get yourself off. You could masturbate. You could touch yourself and say he's not allowed to touch you. You know, you could easily, like a very easy way to start with some dominant submission stuff is to like tie him up. Blindfold him and start to, like, you know, you could spank him, or you could, you know, play around with different, like, touch, or, you know, using ice cubes and then a massage candle. And then role playing. You said you haven't role played. This is ripe for role playing. I mean, you could think about being, you're the officer and he gets pulled over. You know, you're the teacher, he's the student. You know, you could think of different ones that might turn you on. You could even dress the part. I mean, I find whenever I get to wear something that makes me feel sexier and control in the bedroom, you know, that's just fun. That's like that fun element that kind of takes you out of your normal routine. So maybe if you do go, guys, go shopping for a costume, you decide on a scenario. I mean, I think that, you know, probably in thinking about this, Hannah, you thought you were on your own. You have to show up one day with like a whip and in the black latex and all the things like a dominant, but we don't know that yet. So I think that, again, there's no rush in this, but figure out what you guys both like. Figure out which part of these sound good to you. You know, if you want them to worship you, you know, you are the master. So again, people confuse this like kinky and BDSM and role play. So really, you just got to find out. But I, you know, from him and through the research you guys do together, and I feel like you are going to actually, you might learn to enjoy this. And a lot of women who are not naturally dominant in the bedroom, which I think is the majority of women, because a lot of us just, that's how we've been trained, how we've been wired. Men are typically more dominant. Once they get into it and they understand the mentality behind it, they realize that really when you're, you know, when you are dominant, you can still have, you know, you can still find pleasure in that role. So go in with an open mind and open heart and let me know how it goes. Thank you, Hannah.
Very, very well said.
Thanks.
Okay. Next one is from Dan, who's 23 in New York. Dear Emily, I've been with my girlfriend Fro for 2 years now. Things are great, and we're getting an apartment together. The only thing that is lackluster is our sex life. In the beginning of our relationship, we had sex regularly and was good. Then I started to have a big issue with PE, and now I can count on one hand how many times we've had sex this year. My drive is still very normal, but she doesn't want to have sex. I expressed my concern with her, and she told me it's because of my PE and that her sex drive is lacking. How am I supposed to work on it without actually practicing? She's very stubborn, and it's not a priority for her, but it's important to me. It's to the point where I'm insecure and lack confidence. Where do I go from here? How can I approach this situation without upsetting her? Thank you.
All right, Dan. So what we're talking about is PE, and that's premature ejaculation, which is typically defined as coming before you want to, and typically like in a minute or less, which can really, you know, be a bummer for both of you and definitely for you, Dan. But here's the thing. There are ways you could figure this out, and I definitely would suggest doing it before you guys move in together. So I'm wondering if it's recent or if it's been going on for the whole 2 years. Because here's the good news about PE. For the majority of men, it's a mind thing. So what happens is, and this happens in our brains, it happened to you once. Maybe she shamed you. Maybe she was frustrated. Or maybe you were just mad at yourself. And then the next time you would have sex, you're like, oh no, I hope it doesn't happen. And then guess what? It happens. So how you have to do it, though, the good news is you said, how can I do it without practicing? You actually can practice, but it's going to have to be on your own, and this is through masturbation. So this is where you do edging, what we call edging, which is the stop-start method. And essentially, you start to masturbate until the point you're about to ejaculate, like you're going about your masturbation, and then you slow down, right? And then you speed up again, and then you slow down. Now, it's totally okay if you come, you know, like that's fine. You're just learning. But the skill that you're learning here and the muscles that you're building is you're learning to how to get ejaculatory control so you actually won't ejaculate. So, but this is a practice you have to continue to do. Like, it's not just once. It might take you a month every day. And yes, you're allowed to orgasm after you've practiced it. So I think after then, you're going to have the confidence to have sex with her again and to play around with this. There's also something called the Fleshlight STU, which is something that can also help you. It's essentially a masturbation sleeve that will help you with masturbation. You can also do your Kegel muscles. That's also another way. I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp that you can download. It reminds you to do them. And essentially men do them the same way as women, where you're like stopping and starting the flow of urine and you just practice those muscles. Because once you've control of those muscles as well, it'll be a lot easier. I also talk about Promescent, which is you just put a few sprays on your penis. You wait about 20 minutes for sex. So that's when you got to please her, a little bit foreplay before you go inside of her. And that can help you last up to 64% longer. So you can definitely find more about Promescent at sexthemily.com/enhance. The other thing is, talk to her outside the bedroom, because I'm assuming that a lot of these conversations have happened like when you try to have sex and maybe she rejects you and says she's got a low sex drive. And just let her know outside the bedroom when you guys are hanging out, it's not tense, not when you're in a fight, but when you're chilling, and just say, you know, it's really important to me that I become like the best lover to you possible. And you want to work on this together. You can let her know that you have this plan that you're going to work on and what you learned. And also, you know, you say she says she has a low sex drive. That might be true, but it's also important for her to masturbate and to keep her pilot light lit. Just because she's not having sex with you, she should continue to, like, you know, pleasure herself. And then also, let's just remember this. If you come too quickly, you can always go down in her, get a toy, make sure that she comes first. I mean, that's kind of the rule for most sex, right? Making sure she comes first. So it doesn't have to be all about the penetration. So all is not lost here, Dan. Just take some of these suggestions and you'll be back on track.
Okay, so this next one is from Becky, 30, in Iowa. Don't get a lot from Iowa. Help! My husband loves blowjobs, but I'm not a fan of giving them, and the oral reciprocity isn't very equal. I did have a negative experience in my mid-teens, and I'm wondering if that has stuck with me. We do practice a dom-sub relationship in the bedroom, and I've been working on getting better, but I still struggle. What can I do to get over this?
All right, so I love that you know this, Becky. It is so true that you have to know for everybody, not just Becky, it just takes one negative experience early on in our lives that is going to have an impact and can completely rewire the way we look at different sex acts, like oral, like giving a blowjob. So that sticks to you. But just because, you know, that's
what has happened to you doesn't mean you have to stay in that place. Like, you can, like, there's a many women I've taught how to learn to enjoy giving blowjobs again. So first you just have to talk to them about it and let them know that you're definitely going to work on, you know, enjoying blowjobs more and giving more blowjobs. And you'd like him to work on going down on you more. So you're both like, he's going to work on you, you're going to work on him, right? Oral for all. I think that sounds good. But you don't want to make it an ultimatum, like, if you don't go down to me, I'm not going to go down to you. You could even keep it separate, bring them up at separate times. But hey, I think we can all agree it should be reciprocated every time. So get your head around this. Just even knowing that the reason why you don't like giving blowjobs is because of this past experience, you can also look at it this way. Your husband's penis is an extension of the man that you love, the man that you married, the man you're spending your life with. And so if you love him, that it's still just a part of him that you want to give pleasure to, and you know that it will make him happy. So I think that to ease into it slowly, again, maybe you just start to lick the tip and use your hands. You know, hand jobs are so underrated. You could get some really great lube. I also recommend you get some flavored lube, because if there was something about the blowjob that wasn't a great experience, sometimes when it tastes something like, I don't know, creme brulee. There's also this new line called Muse. It's actually by System Joe. These are friggin' amazing. I could eat these for dessert. And I have. I've put them on ice cream. You get the salted caramel, the mint chocolate, or the creme brulee. They taste amazing. So maybe if that, I mean, to me, when I'm like, mint chocolate, okay, like, that would actually help enhance the pleasure. But also know that you can also make blowjobs pleasurable for yourself. You can touch yourself. You can use a toy on yourself. You guys could try 69. But the best way is to start slow. Don't expect that you're going to become a blowjob master, but just the fact that you're willing to learn again. And a lot of it is getting out of your own head and not think, you know, trying to not think about the past experience, which is, you know, in the moment you're focusing on, you know, this is my husband's penis and I love it. And then you'll see once you get into it, even if you're using your hands and just licking the tip, that he's going to be excited and aroused. And that sort of has this energy flow where you get excited, he's excited, then you're excited. And that's how really great sex, connected sex works, is we all get turned on, turning our partners on when we're in a healthy place. So I think those are some ways for you to get started. All right. Let me know how it goes, Becky.
All right, and this last one comes to us from Ricky, who is 58 in Oregon. Dear Emily, I love my wife in all ways, spiritually, emotionally, physically, with every part of my being. I also love going down on her, vaginally and anally. Lately, she's been telling me she wants me to take her anal virginity. This does not sound good to me. I've seen videos that show men hurting women with anal sex, and I cannot stand the thought of causing my love any pain. I'm losing sleep over this, wanting to please her and fulfill her fantasy about anal, along with my anxiety over causing her discomfort, let alone pain. Help, please.
All right, Ricky. Thank you for your email. So here's the thing about anal and the porn you're watching. Anal porn that is just not appealing. And you have to realize that the porn that you're watching is made by men for men, and women are not directing it going, this is what actually would feel good, you know, with anal. So just disregard all porn for being fiction, and that might be a good place for you to start, Ricky. Because what I can tell you is that for many men and women, anal sex actually feels really good when it's done correctly. And most of us do not know how to do it, and we do it incorrectly, to the point where maybe we even do it one time and it's so painful we never do it again. The most important thing is use lube. You want to have the lube on the nightstand. You want to use a silicone lube. That's the best way. It lasts the longest, and you want to keep reapplying as needed. Now, it sounds like you're already teasing her around the anus. She's comfortable with that. And then you could maybe just start with a finger and see how that goes. Make sure your hands are clean. And then maybe even a butt plug. And then work your way up to using your penis. It helps if she's already aroused and turned on, like maybe you go down on her. It helps if she already has an orgasm first. That can also be really relaxing and arousing for her. And then just to make sure that, you know, she has to breathe really deep and go slow. And then when you're also going in, you have to go slow and check in with her. And, you know, we've got a lot of other great blogs on our site about first-time anal that you can check out, but I just really here wanted to, like, kind of debunk that myth that it's going to be really painful and awful, especially if she's willing. So, and it might be really good to you, too. So I understand, Ricky, you know, your concerns, but I think that if you go in armed with the right anal knowledge, that you might just like it. How about that? All right, Ricky, thanks for email. Thank you, everybody, for your emails. Thank you to my guest, Kirsten Vangsness, She's amazing. We love that. And let me know if you guys enjoyed the show. Let me know what you think of it. Thank you to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.